السلام عليكم. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا صراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم. غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. آمين. With God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, the prayers and the peace be on Muhammad the prophet, his companions, the righteous servants, all. Ameen. We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on this beautiful day of Jummah. And we pray Allah that the Muslims all over the world and human life all over the world is at peace. And we ask Allah to bless us and give us the guidance that we need to come back to unity. Very important. Unity. And once the human life comes back into unity, then quite naturally we can solve all of the problems of the world. I think that a lot of things Allah is putting on us or causing to happen is because we're out of sync as human beings. He didn't create us to be out of sync. He didn't create us to be racist or fighting and killing one another. He created us to get to know one another so we can do things together and accomplish the great feats that man was created to accomplish. Alhamdulillah. Today, we would like to speak briefly from an ayat in the Quran. It's the called Al-Ikhlas. And Al-Ikhlas is the purity of faith, or the unity. We can even call it the unity because it's given reference to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Matter of fact, Allah is teaching us, teaching human life, who and what Allah is. And Allah is the only one that can teach. If we don't understand Allah through what Allah gives us, then you'll never be able to understand Allah. Alhamdulillah. And it says in the Quran, I'll make an attempt at the Arabic and then we'll say it in English, Al-Ikhlas. Kul hu Allahu ahad, Allahu samad, lam yalid wa lam yulad wa lam yakul lahu kufuwan ahad. Say, He is Allah, the one and only, Allah the eternal absolute. He begets not, nor is He begotten, and there is none like unto Him. So this is the unity of Allah, the oneness of Allah. And when we say the oneness of Allah, how do we understand the oneness of Allah when Allah is indivisible? We understand the oneness of Allah by looking at His creation and the whole universe, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the creator of everything in the universe. And all of the lessons and all of the knowledge and information that Allah wants us to understand is right there in His creation. And quite naturally, Allah is the best knower. But Allah has given us a description of His own self. He's confirming something here that wasn't confirmed in past scriptures, the misunderstanding of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in the last revelation of scripture that came to Prophet Muhammad, he's correcting these things. Because how can we say we believe in Allah and we don't understand the basic idea of what and who Allah is? He says, say, he's saying this to Prophet Muhammad, to say to not the Muslims in Mecca, Arabia, he's saying this to Prophet Muhammad, to say to all the worlds, everybody in the world, say, He is Allah, the one and only. And we stop right here. That's the Shahada. When a Muslim say, La ilaha illallah, they're saying the same thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying in this first verse or the first ayat of the Quran. He is Allah, the one and only. He says, the Shahada, or declaration of our faith. Once a person becomes a Muslim, We become a Muslim by not being bathed in water or oil or things of that nature. We make a verbal statement in public. And the statement is, I bear witness that there is no God but Allah. And then the other part of that Shahada, and Muhammad is his messenger, right? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks through Prophet Muhammad. He reveals whatever he wants us to know through his prophet. And that's why the prophet is so important. He's not God. He's not associated or partner or relationship to God. He had no relationship to God. Allah uses whomsoever he see fit. And he chose Prophet Muhammad because of the state of his heart. And he knew if he put it on the heart of Prophet Muhammad, then Prophet Muhammad most certainly would deliver it. So he's saying, say, O Prophet Muhammad, a messenger of Allah, he is Allah, the one and only, right? Okay, so he's the one. And then when we say and only, that means that there's nothing that comes behind. He is one. He is Allah. He is God, the one and only. And then he said, Allah, the eternal absolute. Now, for the individuals who study, who understand, study words, they get a bigger and fuller understanding of what this word Allah is, right? And we have many different kinds of ideas and concepts and things that we worship, things that we form with our own hands, that we bow down to. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that Allah, the eternal absolute, the word eternal means lasting and existing forever. No beginning and no ending. Now, we don't understand that. Maybe you do, but I don't understand that. He says that he's lasting and existing forever. He has no beginning and he has no ending. We don't understand that. That's why we say that we have faith. We believe it, right? We don't know it. You can't find a human being on this earth that say they know Allah like that. They say, I have belief and faith in what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling me about his own self in scripture. Alhamdulillah. So he says, say he is Allah, the one and only. Allah, the eternal absolute. In other words, he's lasting and existing forever. He has no beginning and he has no end. In other words, you can't pinpoint Allah, God. You say, where is Allah at? Allah is above his whole creation. He's not even identified or associated with his creation. And this is why he said eternal absolute. Absolute means existing independently. Have no relationship with that he created. He's not stationed in his creation. He's highly evolved above his creation. Alhamdulillah. So this is a bigger picture that we learn once we study the words of the Quran and put it in our heart, be sincere about who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala truly is. And why is that important? Because if we are a Muslim, if we are a believer, we put our whole trust and faith in Allah alone. Not man, in the indivisible, right? Indivisible Allah, who is the creator of all things. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. And why is the Quran so important? It's the final revelation. The final revelation means that there were revelations that came before, came to Abraham, came to Musa, came to Moses, came to Jesus. Revelations that came before. And there's misunderstandings in those revelations. And how do we know that there's misunderstanding? Because look at the difference in people of religions who study the same book. And we have two religions, the Christian and the Jewish religion, in the same book. You can go right now and you can buy a Bible and you have the Jewish scripture and the Christian scripture in the same book. You know, there's two, you can separate them, say this is the Old Testament, New Testament, but it's the same Bible, Old Testament, New Testament. So the Quran comes along out of the mercy of Allah and reveals the final revelation to correct all revelation that came prior. And what is the first thing to be corrected. The first thing to be corrected according to this ayah is that say he is Allah the one and only. He has no partners, he has no associates. Allah the eternal absolute. He was here and he will always be here. He has no beginning and he has no ending. He is independent of his creation. And then he says he begets not, nor is he begotten. That's one of the biggest problems that we have on the planet Earth right now, today. People associating partners with Allah and says that Allah gave birth to a child. That's the big problem. That's the big one. And the people say remove all images that associate themselves with God. But here is a religion. The religion says that Allah begot a son. Okay, what is the meaning of begot, to begot? Meaning that a man and a woman has a sexual relationship to procreate a child. That's what it means. That this is God. Now remember, they're talking about God here. Now whether the big Christians understand it that way, the learned Christians understand it that way, and the common man sees it as a physical relationship, okay, that's up for debate. And I'm pretty certain that the big educated Christians don't see it that way. They teach it to the common man, but they don't see it that way. They see it the same way that we see it, right? Alhamdulillah. But the common people all over the earth, they see it as God gave birth to a child through a mother without the agency of a man, right? And it says that God is the father of the Son, who is Jesus. Now, I'm not saying this to try to discredit anybody or anything. We're speaking on the ayat of the Quran, and it leads us to that. And if we don't straighten that matter out, right, we got a serious problem. He begets not, nor is he begotten. To be beget, to be born of a mother, right, or to procreate, begotten. He was begotten out of a relationship between a man and a woman. And quite naturally, Allah knows best. And this is why we make this attempt to try to give us some understanding of what Allah revealed to us in the Holy Quran of concerning this matter. Alhamdulillah. In the Christian book, and what is he relating to here, right? He's confirmed. He's straightening the matter out. What came before us in the Bible in John 3:16? And this is how it reads. And this is how it always read. And I recall a scholar said that even some of the books, when Islam became visible in the world and people start doing dawah, propagating the religion, in some of the Bibles, they took this verse out, the meaning of this verse out, right? Because the light had came onto the scene. And in John 3:16, it says, this is the Bible, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. We have to think about that. Sometimes we sit and we listen to preachers go on and on and on. We listen to the choirs and things of that nature, very beautiful. The preacher taught a beautiful sermon, or the imam, he taught a very beautiful khutbah, but we don't listen and examine the words that they say. Because if a preacher was to stand up in the mosque or in a church or synagogue and say, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, then that's somebody, that means that somebody had a sexual relationship in the way we understand it, right? He said that God says, and God responds this by saying, he begets not, nor is he begotten. And he corrects that statement, right? He said, don't attribute that to me. He said, I created you to have sexual relations to procreate life, not me. I'm highly evolved over those little small physical kinds of things. He's eternal, absolute. And then he goes on to say, and there is none like unto him. meaning that whatever you could vision in your mind, that's not Allah. That's a figment of your own imagination. You're trying to struggle and strain to see Allah, to put Allah in context, right? To put him in a position where you can see him and understand him. But it's not about your intellect, your intelligence. It's all about faith. Faith that Allah do exist. Faith that Allah created the trees outside and the birds and all the rest of these things. One thing depending on another. He created the earth and got earthworms and he got birds and bird depends on worms and birds depends on trees and everybody is interdependent. But the biggest creation that he created was man. Not just a physical man roaming around on his hands and knees, but man who have evolved to be upright with intelligence. Because the beauty of that is because with that intelligence, man will be able to decipher the wisdom of God in God's creation. Alhamdulillah. But when we start seeing these little baby pictures that they give us, baby pictures of God having a son, God is the Father and Jesus is the Son. When we see things like that, it distorts our development. It matter of fact, it makes us have a baby type development, right? So we see these things as a baby see thing. But God gave us intelligence, deep intelligence, that we can open up things and look into them and understand their nature, extract that nature and use it for our benefit. And quite naturally, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the best knower. We know Allah by what Allah tells us about himself in the Quran, not by man's ideas. And you know, we have given ourselves to man for so long. Just like us in the Nation of Islam, we had a person called Farad Muhammad, Master Farad Muhammad. He came in the person of God. We reject that. When we came to clear understanding of Islam, we reject those kinds of ideas. And then he went on to preach about his ideas about God, man, etc., etc. Do we accept those? No, we don't accept that. We accept that we are servants of Allah, Abdullah. We serve Allah. That's what Allah created us for, and only for that purpose. Sometimes people use a knowledge that they created to help people get out of the ditch that they're in their thinking. And then when that individual comes to the surface, you have to correct that. You have to clarify it. Because you have to give people sometimes baby concepts in order to rise them up where they can stand on their 2 feet. And once they're standing on the 2 feet, now you have to reorientate them. You have to give them the right and correct understanding. Look how we teach our children. Some things that we say to our children are not real. We're trying to get the person to understand from the position that the child is in. He's only 2 years old. He don't have understand big ideas and concepts. So we speak to him as a baby. And the same thing that people do in some of these religious institutions, Islamic masjids included, we speak to the people as children. And our people who say, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadan Rasulullah, that individual should be grown enough in his mind to speak to him the truth. And if we give him the truth, then quite naturally he wrestles with that truth and eventually he comes to standing up right, standing upright in his position as a Muslim saying, La ilaha illallah, and it will be Allah. If he goes off course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring him back. Alhamdulillah. And Allah puts signs, beautiful signs all around us. We can look out and see beautiful flowers. We can see green and we can see birds flying in the sky, chirping and things of that nature. And you can go into a jungle and see lions and elephants and crocodiles, things that's also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created. And we can, if we understand and understand the nature of their existence and what they have to do to exist, The smallest in that example is going to be consumed by the bigger and the stronger and so on, all the way to the top. It's animal life. But that's for our benefit also. Everything that Allah created, he says that he created it for the benefit of the intelligence of man. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. And Satan's responsibility is to keep us ignorant and keep us with baby ideas and baby concepts so we miss the whole message of scripture, and then we are studying as a child. And quite nasty, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the best knower. So I repeat, Kul hu Allahu ahad, Allahu samad, lam yalid wa lam yulad, wa lam yakun lahu kufuwan ahad. Say he is Allah, the one and only. Allah the eternal, absolute. He begets not, nor is he begotten, and there is none like unto him. Say he is Allah, the one and only, Allah the eternal, absolute. He begets not, nor is he begotten, and none is like him. Ameen. Kabbalah. Ameen. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. This is the second part of the khutbah. And for those who don't know, maybe you first time you ever heard somebody give a khutbah, the khutbah is a lecture. It's not a preaching. It's not like an emotional preaching. It's imparting knowledge for understanding. And the khutbah is given for that purpose, for knowledge, right? So there's many things that happening in the world today. And if we're going to understand what's happening in the world today, we have to understand what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about those things, right? Alhamdulillah. And we see that the shaitan, every time Allah gives a revelation or he speaks to mankind, Satan comes behind him and put his spin on it. And it's always a negative spin. Why is it a negative spin? Because Satan said to Allah, when Allah condemned him to hell for not bowing to man, Satan asked for respite. He said, oh Allah, give me respite until the day of judgment. Give me respite until the day of judgment. And his argument, he gave an argument, and Allah knows best. He forgave him. He said, okay, I'll forgive you until the day of judgment. And when he said that, Allah forgave him. He know Allah don't lie. That's one thing about Satan. He's a believer in Allah too. He says, seeing that you have put me in the wrong, I will come at them from before them, behind them, from the left, and from the right. And when I get finished with them, none of them will be pleased except your devoted ones. See, the devoted ones, there's nothing Satan can do with the devoted followers of Allah. So what was one of the main things that Satan did to take man off the course? He created an image of God, right? He created an image and he put it in a color, a Caucasian image of God suffering for mankind on a cross. Okay, why was it so important to use a white image? Or he could have used a black image. It didn't make a difference. Just so long as he made that black man a god and he made the white man an inferior. And then there's a contest going on until the day of judgment with one another, which is right, the white or the black or the white and the brown, etc. Racism. And that Jesus on the cross, he representing the suffering of God for mankind. Very intelligent people sit in churches. I know them. I see them. Very intelligent. Some of them run governments. Some of them run big banks. Some of us run world organizations. And on Sunday, where do they go? They go to church to worship a Caucasian image portraying himself as God. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes back and gives us the Quran. Say he is Allah, the one and only. So that's our position. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said it, if he gave it to Prophet Muhammad to say it to us, and we understand it, now we have a responsibility to say it, regardless of what happens, right? Remove all racial images that attempt to portray divine. That's Imam Warthy Muhammad's statement. I think it was in the early 70s that he made that statement. Remove all racial images. Why did he say that? He said that because the problem with the world today is that racist image in religion. And people are bowing to that racial image, and look what it created. Created serious problems in the world. Most people who are black, they feel so inferior that they can't even rise up and take advantage of the benefits that this world have to offer, because they think that they are less than people who have a Caucasian complexion. It's a sorry story. And even in that religion, in closing, Satan made the people think that Kurt Ham in the Bible was cursed black to represent the devil. So many people in churches believe that they are inferior to Caucasian people. Now, if we study this enough, if we study this ayat enough, we'll come to a bigger understanding about who Allah is, what Allah is, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala quite naturally will bless us in this life and also in the afterlife. And I believe that Surah is 112, the purity of faith, Al-Ikhlas. Matter of fact, go get your Quran and read Al-Ikhlas, 112 in the Holy Quran, and ingrain it in you. And every time you have an opportunity, teach it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless us in this life and also the afterlife. Qul hu Allahu ahad. Allahu samad. Lam yalid wa lam yulad wa lam yakul lahu kufuwan ahad. Qad qamitu salat.